You are listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bertie Corbett.
Welcome, everyone, and welcome to a new season of Inside ECAC Hockey. Great to be back with ECAC Hockey, and a pleasure on our first episode, week one of the ECAC season for the men. Women are getting up and running on the other side. We'll be talking about both, and we have the opportunity to talk to the newly named commissioner. Back in June, ECAC replaced Steve Hagwell after his retirement and named Doug Christensen. And it's great to have Doug and get a chance to get to know Doug a little bit as he takes over for the ECAC commissioner's job. Doug, welcome. Season one for you, week one for you on the men's side. Let the games begin. I'm sure there's a great excitement level for you, actually returning as a former player in the ECAC for Union.
Thanks, Bernie. I appreciate it. Obviously, we can't talk football and baseball the whole time like we did off camera, but it's an exciting time in the ECAC. Of course, Quinnipiac raises a banner. They dropped their NCAA championship rings on social media yesterday. It looks fantastic. So, you know, hockey's right around the corner. And on the men's side and the women's side, a massive weekend, great non-conference games. We went 6-0 on Friday night. And had some unbelievable games, including a really late comeback by St. Lawrence on Saturday, where they were three down with about 3 minutes left and wound up winning in overtime. So you might not have more exciting action than a game like that. So, but that's the way you want to start it. That's a great way to start a year. And I'm excited to get going.
Absolutely. And starting the season, as you mentioned, and congratulations one more time for Rand Pecknold and the Bobcats of Quinnipiac for their national championship and that stirring national championship victory over Minnesota back in
Don't forget Joe Dumais' faceoff play that helped make it happen, which is fantastic. Fun to watch.
Absolutely. That one goes into the annals of ECAC hockey history to the Pantheon. And Doug, just familiarizing fans of ECAC hockey with you, probably a good place to start. Your most recent position was deputy commissioner of the USHL, which has become the prime feeder system to Division I college hockey, let alone to the impact it's had with the NHL. And just about give us maybe some perspective, some insight about what you learned in your role where you had the opportunity to interact with a number of different hockey organizations that are key and prime to the world of college hockey.
Well, for me, it's an exciting league. The USHL has more NHL draft picks than any league in the world. 95% of the players in the league go on to play Division I college hockey. So obviously our league is full of them, as is every league in college hockey. But what I really liked about the USHL is a unique nexus of hockey. You had everybody above you needed you, and everybody below you needed you. College hockey needed you. The NHL needed you. All the youth hockey, prep school, everything, all the way up and from around the world wanted the USHL to be good. And from that really allowed me to be able to be in different rooms with lots of people, learn, be able to understand the dynamics of the ecosystem. And I think that helps a ton in my current job, because although it's a little bit different in terms of some of the stakeholders, it's very similar in terms of needing to make sure that all of the boxes are checked, that we're providing everything for all of the different people who have a need for college hockey to be good. And then on a different level, I also think it was good to be able to be working with in the USHL coaches and general managers and owners. And that's not dissimilar to our league with coaches and athletic directors and presidents. And so they all have different viewpoints on the same topic. And I think that's something that really helped me get off the ground running, get up and off the ground running. And I'm excited for this opportunity, and I'm excited to help grow the league.
That's intriguing that you note that, Doug. Really, the word that comes to mind with me is conciliatory. And I think you've learned that lesson, and now you can translate it to your new role.
Certainly. And I would also say that the USHL was at a similar spot when I first started there to where the ECAC is, just in a way of trying to grow the brand and trying to find new revenue streams and trying to be creative and truly, really trying to find the right things to promote. We were able to have some success with that in the USHL. And I think that we see that evidenced by the NHL draft picks and all of the revenue that's been able to come in through different channels. And we're looking to do a lot of those things in our league. And I think that that's something for me that it's fun, but it's also familiar.
when you were hired back in June, one of the quotes that I picked up from a press release, you described it, and I think accurately, as a transformational time in college hockey that you now are going to be right in the middle of. Just to elaborate on that a bit, and I know that you've made reference points to some of the things that are going on in college hockey and going on in college sports with NIL, transfer portal, et cetera, and how all this is going to be managed to have the success of the sport moving forward.
Well, you touched on it. Name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal fundamentally change sports. Every single program has to analyze how they want to handle it. I have said it before, I'm bullish on the ECAC and our institutions for the opportunities that they can create for potential student athletes and student athletes that are on campus now. And so to me, we want to try to help educate our schools. We want to make sure that we're giving them the resources so they know how to best to maximize what they can do. And then at the same token, we want to be forward thinking. We want to understand that the league is growing, that men's and women's hockey is growing. You look at the growth phase of college hockey. You look at the fact that Celebrini, Power, Canadian players have come to our league, and Fantilli, obviously yep. The Hobie Baker winner last year, who have come to play college hockey and come through the USHL to do so. Is really a telling sign of the belief in the development path through college hockey. And I think that our league is uniquely positioned in that because you really get the best of everything. You get the best resources, you get outstanding education, and obviously you get the opportunity to develop your career to whatever it is that you're trying to get to. Obviously, you have the same thing, whether it's you're trying to get to the National Hockey League or whether or not you're trying to play for the Canadian or American Olympic team or playing the PWHL, you can come to the ECAC and develop at the rate that you're able to develop at. Might be accelerated, might be a bit slower, and get to the goals and dreams and aspirations that you have. And if the playing, when the playing side is done, you don't have to look very far. You can see the NHL really having ECAC influence from the team level. Obviously, Don Sweeney in Boston, Bill Zito from Florida, from Yale, Yarmo in Columbus. Conroy in Calgary. I mean, all of these people are fascinating people to track, and they obviously got their start playing hockey in our league.
Indeed, they did. And speaking of getting a start playing hockey in the league, Union, class of 02, mainly as a defenseman, native of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, played in the USHL for the Green Bay Gamblers. You come with a pretty unique resume in terms of the number of experiences and the number of sides that you can really kind of view the sport of hockey from. You talked about that academic and athletic experience. Just give a little perspective, if you will, Doug, about your own and how that has shaped you as the man you are today, now as the commissioner.
I love my 4 years at Union. I've said many times I had so much fun and I enjoyed the experience so much I made my brother go to Union. Obviously, that's not the case, but he did. And I think that I grew up on college hockey. I grew up going to the University of Wisconsin games. My parents were season ticket holders. And that was really my first entrance into hockey, college hockey at all, or hockey at all. So for me, I'm a lifelong college hockey fan. I loved it when I played college hockey. I've enjoyed lots of different aspects of the game. But there's something special and there's something unique about the 4 years of college. And it's not just hockey. It's your classroom. It's your friends that don't play hockey. It's you growing up as a human being. It's probably potentially one of, if not the first time you've moved away from home, and the challenges that come with that, and how you formulate your own individual thoughts when you don't have your parents down the hall. And when you have somebody who's really bright and intelligent from a different background and you're having conversations and growing as people, I had the opportunity to speak to the St. Lawrence men's team when I was there last weekend. And I just said, these are some of the best years of your life. These could be the best 4 years of your life. And as much as it's about hockey, it's about the people. And I really feel very strongly that my job is to try to make their college experience, even if it's just 1% better, that 1% better, because it's such a special time and they're going to love it no matter what we do as a league. But we want to make sure that they can have tremendous pride in the league and that they feel as though the league has done everything to make their experience that much better.
And once again, to address the scope, the depth of your resume, a player, administrator, advisor, supervisor, and also as a coach and a general manager. I mean, you have the coach's perspective as a result of the time that you spent in the ECHL in Manchester and Indianapolis. It's something you can draw on with the sensitivity to topics and concerns of the coaches in your league.
I think so. I think that I understand the pressures they're under. I understand their workflow. So I know what times of day to call them and what times not to. I also understand that they don't want to be reading attachments because they're busy. Their job is just fundamentally different, that they get off the ice. They've got their skates on. A player comes in to talk to them. Another player comes in to talk to them. They've got a bunch of recruiting calls to make. An administrator called them. So I understand that the demands on their time. And I also understand what it's like for them after a big win and what it's like after a big loss or a tough loss. Yep. And so I can empathize with them and I can try to help them grow. And I can also hopefully problem solve and troubleshoot before things happen so that we do have uniform standards in our league. And we do put ourselves in a position where our league is forward thinking, that we are working collectively to ensure that we accomplish collective goals, but that we're also trying to deal with their own individual needs for both men and women. And I feel very comfortable with that. And it's something that I really enjoy too.
The quantity and quality on the men's side was certainly on display last year with the teams that qualified for the NCAA, four teams qualifying for the NCAA tournament and the eventual champion, Quinnipiac, as we mentioned, emerging. The women's side, I can't imagine the women's side being any more robust than it is now, Doug. And give us some insight about the women's side and some of the numbers that I know that you put out in terms of press releases from the ECAC. Some just remarkable numbers in terms of achievement, accomplishments individually and from a team basis.
I mean, certainly you look at the women's side. They just had the PWHL draft earlier this month. 29 of the 90 players in the draft were taken from our league and four of the first seven picks. I mean, you can imagine how impactful that is for our coaches in the recruiting space. And then you also look at the fact that we have a number of the teams in the top 15 in the country, six in one poll, seven in another, and obviously another poll will come out this week. So there's lots of high-end talent, great teams in our league, great depth, and that's going to be fun to watch and see how that plays out over the course of the year. And then, as you touched on before, you've got four teams that were in the NCAA tournament and the national champion. It's going to be fun on the men's side. There's some programs that are really improving and have put resources into growing as a program. And so I think the men's side is going to be really, really good. And of course, as a league, you want to defend your national championship. We've won three of the last 10. So I'll be their biggest cheerleader and trying to do everything that I possibly can to see another banner raised next year at this time of year.
Got to mention a couple of other notes for folks that might not know about Doug. You will be no stranger, probably be a tour guy when it comes to the friendship tournament with the time that you spent in Belfast during your career.
Correct. I lived in Belfast and coached the Belfast Giants for 3 years. Ironically, I met my wife there. We got married there. So you can see over my shoulder pictures of us in Belfast. I'm really excited to go back. If I'm being completely honest, it's a very, very special place. And for the people who haven't been to Belfast, it's a fascinating place with the Troubles and the relationship between Catholics and Protestants, British and Irish, and how they've been able to come together as a community. Doesn't mean they don't have their ups and downs. They do, just like anywhere else. But it's a special place, and I really enjoyed my time, and I'm looking forward to going back and seeing the Princeton women go over there. And I told Kara that I'll be your tour guide. Let me try to make sure that you and the team see everything that you need to see and have a lot of fun, because it's a once in a lifetime opportunity for these student athletes and for these coaches. And if I can make it better, I'll do my best.
Also want to acknowledge on the women's side, Doug, great pride for Katie King Crowley, former Brown player, current coach at Boston College, and great to see her being honored by the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame in December.
It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, obviously for us as a league, we're overjoyed and we want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to celebrate it and promote it. And I'm sure Nick will be pushing all the social media channels for all of our ECAC inductees, not only into the USA Hockey Hall of Fame, but for all the awards and accolades that they're going to have over the course of the year.
Well, let the games begin. We're ready to drop the puck on the men's side. And a couple of very compelling matchups in particular, Doug, that we want to note here out of the gate, non-conference play. Boston College is very highly regarded in the preseason. They will be in Hampden to take on the defending national champions. And UConn, one of the NCAA teams from a year ago, Donnie Vaughn in his final season. UConn will be at Colgate. Just to name two as we get started. There'll be a lot of great non-conference play, but great to see those matchups here as we get ready to begin the season.
Well, I'm planning on being there Saturday night, taking in the Yale women's game in the afternoon and heading over to Hampden in the evening. Should be a great day of hockey, and I'm looking forward to a really wonderful celebration and well-deserved for Quinnipiac, for their staff, for the students, for everybody aboard, the alumni. It's a special day, and I'm obviously excited to be there and to watch it.
My final question, Doug, once again, in my research, there was at one time that you maybe aspired to be a lawyer. How close did you get? Did you apply to law schools, or how far down that road did you get as far as a law career as opposed to a hockey career?
Yeah. Well, so I, funny story is I worked for Bob Uhr when I was in college, and I had every expectation of being an agent, and I played after college for a number of years. And I was 27 and I was going to go to law school. I was fully ready to go. And I called my agent at the time by the name of Craig Strew. And I said, Craig, I've always kind of been interested in being a coach. You know, is there anything that's out there? And thinking it was going to be an assistant coach or something that I would just say no to and I'd move on. And he said, Doug, this is 3 weeks later. He said, Doug, there's a head coaching job in Edinburgh, Scotland. It's got full personnel control, and if you don't take it, I'm gonna, and I took it, and I loved it. I spent 7 years over in the UK, coaching Edinburgh, Belfast and Sheffield, coached the national team and really enjoyed my time. And I think it was a great time in my life to be able to go over there and experiment and to travel and to learn and to learn a different culture, different cultures. And, so I came pretty close to being an attorney, but I'm pretty glad that I dodged that bullet and got into the hockey side and stayed the way that I did. So very thankful that that opportunity came up.
Well, if I listed all the lawyers and judges in my family on both sides, you'd see that I guess it was aversion therapy for me, the fact that I'm in the world of hockey myself, Doug. So we're kindred spirits there. We both decided to take to the ice in our own way. So I'm glad we got the story behind the story there. Your witness, Doug. That's
yes,
all I've got.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks
Doug
for your time. Thanks for
joining
all you
us.
Do.
Oh, thank you very much, Doug. Really appreciate it. Doug Christensen, the new commissioner, taking over the reins for ECAC hockey, men's and women's side. Women's side underway, men's side underway this weekend. Let the games begin for ECAC hockey 23-24 as we begin here on our first episode of Inside ECAC Hockey.
Thank you for listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey podcast with Bertie Corbett. Follow ECAC Hockey on social media at ECAC Hockey across all platforms.